is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Tuesday, the 26th day of March, 2024. And this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on X, Facebook, and Rumble. And then the podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian podcast community. You can head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You're sure to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it. We have breaking news this morning, and if you're awake, which you probably are because you're watching the podcast, there was a tragic event last night in Baltimore. The Francis Scott Key Bridge, which spans Baltimore Harbor, it's a 1.6 miles long, 180 feet high, and as I said, it crosses the mouth of the Baltimore Harbor. I should say it was 1.6 miles long and 180 feet high. It's no longer there. About 1:30 this morning, local time, the Singapore-flagged 985-foot-long, 95,000-ton container ship Dolly collided with one of the support columns of the bridge and brought down the entire bridge. The video that I have seen, it was all over my newsfeed as soon as I woke up, and the video that I have seen is frightening. You're a car, you're out in the middle of this bridge, and apparently there were several cars crossing the bridge at the time, and also construction workers on the bridge. And the bridge was struck, and it collapsed, and as it's 1.5 miles long, you're out in the middle of this bridge driving your car. You got nowhere to go but in the water. So crews are searching the water as we speak. I just saw an interview with the Baltimore Fire Chief, and he says they are in an active search and recovery, search and rescue mode right now. They haven't even begun looking at anything else. Any reason, anything would be speculation regarding why this tanker, cargo ship, struck the bridge. We don't know. Anything we have at this point is going to be speculation, and it's going to be a while before we find out anything about the cause. They're going to have to investigate this seriously. I believe these cargo ships have black box type devices on them, similar to aircraft, so that the National Transportation Safety Administration will be able to, they're going to be the people in charge of investigating this, probably with the help of the Coast Guard. And so that's going to be the, focus after all the people are out of the water, which I'm hoping. This was 1:30 this morning. It's 9 o'clock, 9:30 there now. So it's been 8 hours since this happened. I hope they've gotten anybody out of the water that could be. But there was probably loss of life. The company that owns the cargo ship has issued a statement that all of their crew members are accounted for and safe. So there is that. That is a good thing. As sun was coming up, I was seeing close-ups of the cargo ship with bridge superstructure draped across the deck. This was a large steel girder bridge. It looked like a steel girder bridge and not a cable suspension bridge. I don't know how old it is. I didn't look at that. But major bridge. And the other thing is that Baltimore Harbor is one of the busiest on the East Coast. And now it's closed because the mouth of the harbor is completely blocked by this collapsed bridge that is stretching across the... So they're going to have to clear the mouth of the harbor. They're going to have... I mean, this is... You're going to have container ships diverting to, you know, Baltimore or to, you know, Charleston or someplace to unload, or sitting offshore waiting, while this is probably going to take days to get Baltimore Harbor back up into business. So this is a serious event, and the first concern is, of course, those who have been injured or killed and their families, and safety for the first responders as they are searching for these people. It's obviously after dawn there now, so we'll be getting some, when I'm finished with the webcast, I'll be looking at the live video, no doubt, of what's happening in Baltimore Harbor. But again, we don't know why it happened, but we want to be in prayer this morning for these people. In fact, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we lift up the people of Baltimore. We lift up the crews that are searching the water for any survivors and any vehicles that went into the harbor. Lord, we pray for the rescue efforts. We pray for the families that are grieving. We pray for the injured, that they would receive the treatment they need and would recover. Lord, this is a tragedy on a scale that we seldom see, and we plead with you for mercy. We also pray for the investigators, that you would give them wisdom and insight to determine the cause of this incident so that things like this could be prevented in the future. Lord, we pray for all of the people who are affected, not only by the stoppage of freight entering and leaving the harbor, but by those who routinely travel north and south along Interstate 95, who now are going to have to divert. We just lift up this entire situation. We know that you have a plan and a purpose in all of this. We pray for your purposes to be accomplished. We pray for you to be glorified. And Lord, again, we ask your mercy on those who are suffering. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what do we got coming up today? We have scripture reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. And we have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. And once again, we're stepping away from our normal slate of programming. So there's no study Bible level Bible study today. We're doing Holy Week scripture readings and devotion. And so that will be what we continue with this morning. And coffee. Always coffee. All right. This is Herb's House House Blend. So thank you, Kent Steinbeck, for making Herb House coffee available on Amazon. I greatly appreciate that. And the only reason I order it from Amazon and not directly from Herb's House is free shipping, because I'm a Prime member. don't tell Kent I said that. Okay. Let's begin, as is our practice, with the prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now our prayer for the reading of the Word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience in the comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Exodus 14 and Psalm 64. Exodus chapter 14. Now Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, so that they turn back and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal-Zephon, opposite by the sea. And Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, 'They are wandering in confusion in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in.' Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart with strength, and he will pursue them. And I will be glorified through Pharaoh and all his army, so that the Egyptians will know that I am Yahweh." And they did so. Then the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said, "What is this that we have done? We have let Israel go from serving us." So he made his chariot ready and took his people with him. He took 600 choice chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. And Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, with strength, and he pursued the sons of Israel, as the sons of Israel were going out with an exalted hand. Then the Egyptians pursued them with all the horses and all the chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them, camping by the sea, beside Pi-Hahiroth, in front of Baal-Zephon. Now Pharaoh drew near, and the sons of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very afraid. So the sons of Israel cried out to Yahweh. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What is this you have done against us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word which we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than for us to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Yahweh will fight for you, and you will keep silent." Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Speak to the sons of Israel so that they go forward. As for you, raise up your staff, and stretch out your hand over the sea, and split it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. As for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians with strength, so that they will go in after them, and I will be glorified through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am Yahweh, when I am glorified through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been going before the army of Israel, before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh swept back the sea by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea into dry ground, so that the waters were split. So the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Then the Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen went in after them into the midst of the sea. Then at the morning watch, Yahweh looked down on the camp of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the camp of the Egyptians into confusion. And he caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for Yahweh is fighting for them. Let us flee from Israel, for Yahweh is fighting for them against the Egyptians." Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak, while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then Yahweh overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus Yahweh saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Then Israel saw the great hand which Yahweh had used against the Egyptians, and the people feared Yahweh, and they believed in Yahweh and in his servants. And now Psalm 64, the 64th Psalm, for the choir director, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Guard my life from the dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of the workers of iniquity, who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aim bitter speech as their arrow, to shoot from places of hiding at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They hold fast to themselves an evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, "Who can see them?" They searched out unrighteousness, saying, "We have completed a diligent search, for the inward thought of a man and his heart are deep." But God will shoot them with an arrow. Suddenly they will be wounded. So they will cause their own tongue to turn against them. All who see them will shake their head. Then all men will fear, and they will declare the work of God and will consider what he has done. The righteous man will be glad in Yahweh and will take refuge in him, and all the upright in heart will boast. This is the word of the Lord. And now our reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Today's devotional is Jesus Christ's Amazing Ministry. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Matthew 8:17. Dr. MacArthur writes, "Even excluding the miraculous healings, Jesus' ministry was unprecedented and amazing. Never has a man spoken the way this man speaks," John 7:46. The man born blind, whom Jesus healed, told the Jewish leaders, "Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man, Christ, were not from God, he could do nothing." John 9:32-33. When Jesus healed the paralytic, the onlookers were awestruck and glorified God, Matthew 9:8. And after he expelled a demon, they said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel," verse 33. When he stood before Pilate, Jesus did not say a word in his own defense, so the governor was quite amazed, Matthew 27:14. Everything about our Lord was astonishing, excellent, and humanly beyond explanation. It is hard to understand how anyone who witnessed his preaching and miracles, or has even just read about him in the Gospels, can still refuse to accept and obey him. Some are drawn by his charisma and power, and they marvel at the things he taught and did, but they still take nothing to heart and don't believe. Sometimes they are willing to call themselves Christians, but they need a commitment that is more than superficial, one that perseveres in faith to the end. Ask yourself, Think of all the things that are truly amazing about Christ. If you were asked what you love the most about him, what would you say? You never want to be at a loss to share the specific ways he makes life distinctly abundant. All right. And now we turn to our Holy Week scripture reading and devotional. Again, this is a devotional that was put out jointly from First Baptist Church of Lyndale, Texas, and G3 Ministries. And it is available for a free download at the G3 website. The link is in the show notes. There is much more in the devotional than I am reading, so I would urge you. It has family devotional questions and all sorts of stuff. Great little resource put out by our folks, our friends at Tom Buck's church. And I don't know if it was put out by Lyndale, written in Lyndale, Texas, and put out by G3, and then, you know, G3 Press published it, or if it was a joint collaboration. I have not researched the names of the men who have written the devotions that we're reading. I'll give you their names, though, and I don't know if they're with... I know it was edited by an associate pastor at Tom Buck's church, but as to who wrote the various devotions, I haven't researched that, but it is a very good little devotion. All right. Our reading today is Mark 14, 1 through 26. Now the Passover and unleavened bread were 2 days away, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how, after seizing him in secret, they might kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, lest there be a riot of the people. And while he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster jar of perfume of very costly pure nard, and she broke the jar and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She did a good work to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She anointed my body beforehand for the burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman did will also be spoken of in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went away to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard this, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he began seeking how to betray them opportune time. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. And whenever he enters, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room, in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he himself will show you to a large upper room, furnished and ready, prepared for us there. And the disciples went out and came to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me, the one who is eating with me. They began to be grieved, and to say to him one by one, surely not I. And he said to them, it is one of the 12, the one who dips with me in the bowl. For the Son of Man is to go just as is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And while they were eating, he took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take it, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then the devotional going along with this passage was written by Dylan Bacon. He writes, "English was one of my favorite subjects in school, especially when we got to critique and analyze literature, plays, and even movies. Full disclosure, I'm a nerd when it comes to this sort of stuff even now. I was taught to identify a literary element called dramatic irony. Dramatic irony is when the reader or audience knows something the characters, usually the protagonists, do not. The audience knows the mass slasher is in the abandoned house the damsel decides to go into. They know that Juliet is just asleep while Romeo thinks she is dead. In Mark 14:1-26, these real-life events exhibit dramatic irony, which we identify with the benefit of biblical hindsight. The Jews, in their conspiracy with Judas, think they have our Lord in a snare. Even the disciples who have witnessed Jesus sovereignly bring events to pass before their eyes don't grasp the full picture. Yet in these events, Mark is showing us that Jesus not only knows everything that is happening, but he is willingly bringing it about according to God's divine plan. In verses 1 through 11, we see the plan. In verses 12 through 21, we see the Passover. And in verses 22 through 26, we hear the purpose. Jesus knew everything about and willingly prepared. For his foreplanned atoning sacrifice. Look at verses 1 through 11 in the plan. In verses 1 through 3, we see the Jewish conspiracy. They will kill their enemy after the Passover, so as not to cause a riot among the people. Then Judas enters into the plot in verses 10 and 11. Between these brackets, our Lord reveals his knowledge of events in verses 4 through 9. Jesus permitted the worshipful anointing of perfume, explaining how his time on earth was drawing to a close. The woman of Bethany had anointed his body beforehand for the burial, as the Lord explains. In the Passover, we again see Christ keeping things moving along according to God's plan. He remains in Jerusalem and prepares for the Passover, then reveals his knowledge of the conspiracy. In the ultimate, I know what you think I don't know moment, Jesus reveals that he is aware of everything happening around him. Now, it's worthwhile to pause here briefly and answer a cynical argument about this passage. Like other polarizing leaders of history, the skeptic would say, well, Jesus was under intense pressure from his enemies. He was paranoid that a disciple would betray him or that someone would finally get to him. Mark shuts that thought down with the events in verses 12 through 16. Everything happens according to Jesus' words, down to the letter, removing any doubt as to his perfect knowledge of the events. Furthermore, the text indicates that Jesus had no way of knowing one of his disciples was a traitor, apart from divine foreknowledge. Finally, his staying in Jerusalem to faithfully carry out the Passover, while he knows the truth, is not the move of a paranoid cult leader, but rather an obedient, suffering servant. Finally, we come to the purpose in verses 22 through 26. Having revealed the reason behind all things in verse 21, Jesus now elaborates on why his body will be broken, his heel bruised in the bruising of the serpent's head. His blood will be poured out for the washing away of sins and the ratification of the new covenant. Jesus knew about and willingly participated in these events for the atonement of his people. Think about that. Jesus, being co-equal and co-existent with the Father, was part of developing this plan in eternity past and knew all aspects of it. The plan of the Jews was to take his life, but Jesus' plan was to give his life for many. Their plan was to kill, but his plan was to save. Consider how Jesus perfectly executed the plan of our atonement and salvation, unencumbered by the futile machinations of sinners. Furthermore, Jesus' resurrection proves the greatest witness to the truth of his words and the acceptability of his sacrifice. The Holy One was not given over to see corruption, but suffered, died, and rose triumphant, that we might be reconciled to God, from whom we fell so far. No question, no doubt, and no irony remaining. In closing, the commentator Matthew Henry provides a beautiful exhortation in response to this passage. Apply this doctrine of Christ crucified to yourselves, and let it be meat and drink to your souls, strengthening, nourishing, and refreshing to you, and the support and comfort of your spiritual life. And now let us recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the Collect for Tuesday of Holy Week. O Lord our God, whose blessed Son gave us his back to be whipped and did not hide his face from shame and spitting, give us grace to accept joyfully the sufferings of the present time, confident of the glory that shall be revealed through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And the Collect for Peace. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us, your humble servants, in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your defense, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through the might of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for the unrepentant we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home, and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for this Tuesday of Holy Week. I hope you have a blessed day ahead of you. Continue to pray for the folks in Baltimore. And remember, as you go through the day, whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. Do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. See you tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.